Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, up on the edge of the prairie. It has warmed up there. There's still some snow on the ground, but there's signs of spring. The loons have come into the lake, and they're singing to each other. There's a big anthill there on the sidewalk in front of the Chatterbox Cafe, and the ants are moving around, and birds have come into town, and you can hear the frogs as well. So there is hope. People are pretty much over the adventure of Donnie Krebsbach going out onto the ice to rescue his fish house. That was about 2 weeks ago, and the ice was rather mushy even then. His wife, Cheryl, had been telling him to go out and get that fish house. Well, she's been telling him since about the middle of February to do that. But there was a tone in her voice, a particular frequency in the voice of a woman telling a man to do something that arouses his inner warrior instinct to resist and to avoid and to take another direction. So that was what prevented him from doing it, was her telling him to do it and hitting that tone of voice. I remember back in 2001 when Vice President Cheney was planning the war in Iraq, I went to a demonstration in Minneapolis, and there was a whole bunch of women who were singing Give Peace a Chance and We Shall Overcome, and they were making speeches against the war, and there was that tone in their voices, so that you knew that the war was inevitable and that it was not necessarily President George Bush's fault. The women in his family had been telling him not to do it, and that's what pushed him to do this thing that otherwise he would not have done. Anyway, never mind. Donnie Krebsbach, 2 weeks ago, heard water dripping from the eaves of his house, and he looked out at the lake, and he saw that all of the fish houses were gone except one, and that was his. And he went into a kind of frenzy of compulsive stupidity. He got out his pickup truck, and he wedged plastic floor mats up into the wheel wells, and he put airbags and a rubber raft in the box of the truck, and he drove into town, and he was revving up the motor there on the intersection of Main Street and pointed out towards the lake, and he laid rubber and he hit the lake at about 45 miles an hour, and he made it almost all the way to his fish house, and then it started to sink a little bit. But he had put tractor tires on the rear wheels, which have these enormous treads, so they acted as fins, and they propelled him forward towards the fish house. He forgot that it's not easy to break when you are a floating object, so he crashed into the fish house, which already was canted at a slight angle, and he remembered now that his big flat screen TV was in there, and his $1,000 shotgun, and he had a $75 bottle of sour mash bourbon. So he wanted to preserve it. He climbed out of the door of the pickup, and he crawled over the hood, and he grabbed hold of the fish house to straighten it up a little bit. And that's when he heard the first crack. It was a loud crack. And then there was another, louder crack. And he prayed a brief prayer. He said, Lord, just this one time, just this one time. I'll only ask once. And then he heard the bubbling as the pickup sank. He snatched the airbags out of the box and the rubber raft, and he pulled the cords on the airbags and stuffed them into the fish house to give it a little more buoyancy because water was coming up through the hole in the floor. And he stuck the rubber raft in there too as the pickup slowly sank, bubbles coming up from it. And he went into the fish house. He looked to shore and noticed that there were not teams of rescuers assembling. There was no helicopter in the sky. He called Cheryl on his cell phone, and there was no answer. He got her voicemail. He didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything. He called down to Krebsbach Chev. He got Donnie Jr., which was worse than talking to voicemail. Donnie Jr. said, "But all the fish houses are off the lake." "Well, not all of them. There's one left, and I'm in it right now." "Is this a joke?" "No, not to me, it's not. Just let me talk to some." Finally, he called Dwayne down at the firehouse, and they set off the alarm, and pretty soon there were 15 firemen standing there on shore in their bright yellow coats and the red light revolving. They had a little cannon, and they fired a rope, a rescue rope. They had to fire three of them before one of them landed where Donnie could grab hold of it, and he tied it around the door handle. And they started to winch him into shore, and it started to sink, and then it pulled the door off. He could feel the door coming off on its hinges, and he reached back and he grabbed the $75 bottle of Sour Mash. And he rode that door like a surfboard as they pulled him in over the ice. They pulled him in slowly, and by the time he got to shore, he was three sheets to the wind. They helped him up off his surfboard, and he said, "Boys," he said, "if I had to do it all over again, I would do it all over again." They took him home, and Cheryl was not there. She left a note. She'd gone to the casino, and they put him in bed. He was dead drunk. He woke up when she got home about midnight that night. She walked in. She could smell whiskey. He said, "Darling," he said, "I think you and I ought to take a long trip together. I think we ought to take that trip to Sweden that we've been dreaming of all these years." Well, she had been dreaming of it. He hadn't. She had been lobbying for the trip to Sweden for the last couple of years, but in that same voice with that frequency in it. So he'd resisted it up until now. She said, "Where are we going to get that kind of money?" He said, "I've got $10,000 coming from the insurance on the fish house. And I believe that I have 15 grand coming on the pickup truck." She said, "What? What, you drove out on the ice? Are you crazy?" He said, "How else was I going to get that kind of money?" So, they're heading for Sweden. Good things come from those who trust in the Lord. That's what we say. Back in Lake Wobegon, you may just have to wait for a while. That's all. Anyway, spring is on its way. The birds are arriving. The loons have come. Two geese landed on the lake on what's left of the ice, a male and a female. They were out there arguing about something. Who knows what? Probably same thing the rest of us argue about. Whose idea was it to come here? Well, we're here, so let's just make the best of it. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.